Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
With me right now is David Bellavia. He's the only living Medal of Honor recipient from the Iraq War for his actions in Fallujah, author of a new book, Remember the Ramrods, An Army Brotherhood in War and Peace, and a best-selling author in his own right. I believe they're making a movie on his last book. David, welcome back.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're from?
Buffalo.
So you know Kathy Hochul.
Oh, I ran against Kathy Hochul. I know her very well.
Right.
Yeah, she's a monster.
In what respect?
She's just, I ran against, when I was running for Congress with Kathy Hochul, she was Annie Oakley. I mean, she went to rallies pro-gun. She got the NRA endorsement. She was a pro-life Catholic who talked about how illegal immigrants shouldn't have driver's licenses.
And what happened now?
We've had a lobotomy. Something happened. Kathy Hochul is the worst type of politician are the ones that sell themselves and completely do whatever they can for their ambition. I'm not a fan.
Right. So she took forever to understand that crime is an issue in New York.
But today she's going to fix it.
Right.
The next day.
Right.
Yeah.
She won by about 4 or 5 points over Lee Zeldin. You were in the political process as well as fighting all wars for this country. Why do you think Lee got so close and you're surprised he didn't win?
I'm devastated he didn't win, not because of my partisanship, but because I think New York really needed it. It doesn't make sense. These exit polls don't match up with where the voters when you look at how
certainly not upstate. I would be going upstate every weekend.
Listen, so many people have hemorrhaged. You know, New York leads the nation in mass, you know, net migration of people leaving the area. But when you look at what New York, I mean, the idea that we've got, you know, the fresh water, the energy, all of these things that New York has, this, it's a beautiful state, hardworking. And yet, what is the fundamental philosophy of bringing businesses to upstate New York? It's you don't have to pay taxes for 10 years. Well, isn't that fantastic? This is primarily
right.
The philosophy of what Reagan economics has been. It's maddening to me.
So a couple of things is pretty clear is that New York City still drives everything because Long Island is red. Staten Island is bright red. Most of New York State is red outside Albany in particular. So Governor Hochul now, who really didn't do much, but collected $50 billion. And realize how much pay for play is involved in that?
And look, you've got, you know, there's a whole lot that's going on with just, you know, her husband and the stadium deal. I'm a huge Bills fan, but that stadium is not popular in New York State. It's not. And, you know, we're rolling out the red carpet.
Well, we didn't vote on it.
Well, no one voted on it. In fact, I don't even think – who was negotiating it? Everything was kept secret about the entire thing, the big reveal, like a Maury Povich. You know, we found out how much it was going to cost and the sweetheart deal and what they did to the Seneca Nation. It's damaging.
What do you mean with the Seneca Nation?
Well, the fact that the Seneca Nation had money that they owed the state. They were working on this, and Kathy Hochul just took that money and put it towards the stadium in Buffalo. Listen, the Seneca Nation, they are fiscally responsible. Maybe they should be running New York State. They seem to be making a profit, you know?
So in the big picture, the crime doesn't matter, I guess, enough to change leaders. I think that Adams would have been a lot better off hooking up with Zeldin because I think it would have put partisanship aside. What do you think overall in this country that we don't seem to – we put the border maybe fifth most important thing, yet 98 known terrorists have crossed the border this summer. 98 have been caught. Can you imagine who we didn't get?
Well, listen, I don't – these exit polls are so confusing to me. I'm supposed to believe that, you know, democracy was on the ballot? democracy?
Yeah.
Is that what we're led to believe? Immigration meant something to Latinos in South Florida, but it didn't mean something to people South Texas on that border? You have three elected Democrats on the border of Texas running against – some of them were spouses of border cops.
Maya Flores.
It just makes no sense. So listen, the people are never wrong. Maybe democracy is on the ballot, and maybe we should do something at the federal level. You know what? Maybe I had an epiphany this morning. I believe we should have federal law on elections. They need to be decided that night. This is ridiculous. We're still waiting. 99%. We're going to have a Macy's Day Parade before we find out what's going on in Arizona.
Yeah, and with that Maricopa County, the machines failed.
It's ridiculous. There's no excuses.
It snowed in Nevada, so they just shut the polls.
Didn't we just nudge a satellite out of space with a rocket? I mean, is the United States still coming up with cures? We can't figure out a ballot within a week. I mean, Brian, this is – it's
within
insulting.
A day. I mean, look, Florida got it down. After embarrassing the country for a while,
right.
They fixed it.
And Iraq does better with purple fingers than we're doing right now. It's a shame. It really
so the first time I came across you was your book, House to House.
Yes, sir.
And it was unbelievable.
Thank you.
And if there was anything, any book – that should have been a movie. It was it. And sure enough, where is the movie process?
You know, this whole thing, I'm actually the most stubborn person in the movie process. I want to make sure it's good. I want it to be. I just saw that All Quiet on the Western Front on Netflix, the World War I epic. That's how you make a war movie. You know, there's no politics in it. It's war. It is what it is. It blew me away. I want my movie. Then I don't want it to be Starship Troopers. I want it to be like a this. These are my friends, and I want it to be good. I want it to be real.
Excuse me if I have anything inaccurate, but basically, House to House, you should know this, David. You open up in the book, and you're being robbed. Your house is being robbed.
Yeah.
And you walk in, mm-hmm. and you notice the robbery, and your parents are in a room.
Right.
And when you came in, they were hoping that you would save the day, and you kind of froze.
Right.
So, and you regretted that.
Absolutely. I was a college kid who didn't defend his family. It was the worst experience of my life. It's one of the reasons why I joined the military. That look in my dad's face of you're just not ready for life. It was emasculating.
But you ended up going to the most dangerous place on the planet on the most dangerous time in Fallujah. And you ended up going house to house. And you ended up in hand-to-hand combat, literally choking out some terrorists. And your greatest, you tackled your greatest fear head to head. It's almost as if it was a movie. While I'm reading it, I close. I go, if this isn't a movie, I don't know what is.
It was one of those things where the house was rigged to blow. There were like five guys in there, and our unit got trapped down. Now this all happened. This is the anniversary of the Battle of Fallujah. 18 years ago today is when that whole thing went down.
So you have a new book out now. It's called Remember the Ramrods, An Army Brotherhood in the War and Peace. So with you getting the award that you got and earned, you came across your old guys again.
Yeah.
And what did that mean?
It meant everything. This is I thought I missed the war for 15 years, but I missed my friends. I missed those relationships. That's what we fought for. You know, Americans on the battlefield, there's not a dental plan. There's not a college loan in the world that makes you do what our servicemen and women do. It's for each other. It's for our country. And that relationship, having them back in my life, this award allowed that to happen. And it really has made my life so much better to have them back.
Medal of Honor recipient. So you get them in, but you bring the guys back in order to relive those moments. Did you suffer any PTSD from that? Did you find yourself running through these battle scenes over and over again?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's weird when your whole military, the worst day of your life is something, Chuck Yeager just died. He was like 99, but we just talk about the sound barrier when he was 24. You live cryogenically frozen in that time. You think, did I peak in my 20s? 20 years removed from combat, you think, this is something.
Am I going to do everything to match that?
Exactly. You know what I mean? You don't want to have for 15 years, I felt like Susan Lucci, like nominated for a daytime Emmy, but you didn't get it. It's an honor to be nominated. This award was never going to happen. Out of the blue, it does happen. And now you're thinking to yourself, well, what do I do now? Give this award to a kid that can go and hang out with Hollywood, people and have fun. I'm an old man now. I just want to live my life.
So it's very interesting. I think this applies. I'm in California. I know absolutely no one. So I just go out to a field and I grab a soccer ball and I'm kicking the ball against the wall. And a guy comes over to me and I'm like, he looks familiar. And he goes, yeah, I used to play soccer a little bit. It helped me with my boxing. I look at him, and it's Ray Mancini, and he's about 40. He looks
Mancini. Yeah.
So he walks over to me. It was in Malibu. So I started going to him. I go, you know, I do sports and all sports radio. I go, would you ever hop on? He goes, yeah. Here's my phone number. And I said, he's so transparent. He's like you. Reminds me of you a little bit. And he just starts telling me. He said, I had a huge heart. I go, what are you doing now? He goes, I stay in shape, but it's nothing to say. I'm playing in the softball league. I said, well, how do you deal with the fact that you're no longer champion? He said, well, I had to go see a priest. And the priest just told me this. And I don't love his answer, but he had no problem with it. Priest says, whatever you do in life is not going to match what you've already achieved. Hmm. Get used to it and set new goals. So get comfortable with the belt and get comfortable with being 40 and move on. Now, I felt like he moved on. I haven't talked to him in the last 10, 15 years. But it's tough when you get to the mountaintop and you get there. What happens when you achieve your goals and you have so much of life ahead of you?
That's really, I mean, wow, that's...
Does that apply to what you went through?
That does, and who would have thought that wisdom would come from Boom Boom Mancini? But that is, you're absolutely right. You feel like, you know, what is else out there? I remember when I got this award and the news broke, a coworker told me, some guy with your name is getting the Medal of Honor. Like, they had no idea.
They had no idea who
you're just living your life. You're trying to put that away. You don't want to be known for that. Coaching soccer with, you know, my son. I remember I had parents that came up to me after House to House came out, and they said, you know, we're not really comfortable with you coaching our kids, you know, because, you know, red card, you might go off, you might lose it, you know, whatever.
Did you laugh or did you get angry?
I mean, what are you supposed to do? I get it. I understand it. It's when America gets used to violence, and that's the tragedy of what's happening in our streets.
Right.
Is that there was a time when you heard a gunshot, you assumed it was a car backfiring because you didn't know what a gunshot was. Now we're like 9mm, about 400 meters away.
Well, you are.
Everyone knows because it's happening all the time. It's horrible.
You know what's so interesting is that now most of these subway attacks are hand-to-hand, you know, stab in the neck. This other guy, I was just one of the stories today, was a man on the number one train, just gets punched in the face and knocked out. The sucker punches from behind. So where people go, yeah, get guns off the streets, like Kathy Hochul, get guns off the streets. No, that's not the problem.
That's not the problem. It's unbelievable. I mean, I honestly could tell you that there are places downrange overseas, you know, that this is not what America should be. We're better than that. And right. It's not about no political party owns that. That's what's so disturbing about this is that, you know, we've broken into factions and we're tribal and everyone's got their little team. My guys, we cancel each other vote out.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we just got our business done and we handled ourselves. And it's so stupid.
David Bellavia is here. His new book is out. You got to go grab it. I know everyone's focused on the election, but in a couple of days we'll get all the results. We'll find out who's in power, or maybe December 6th. But pick this up now, and you could download it like me. I prefer to download books. You want to hold them?
Yeah.
Remember the Ramrods, an army brotherhood in war and peace. Back in a moment.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
Hey, welcome back. We have a few more minutes with David Bellavia, and his book is now out, Remember the Ramrods, an Army Brotherhood in War and Peace. Tell me what the book's about.
Book is basically just the process of behind the Medal of Honor is pretty crazy and secretive and weird. Out of the blue, they call you up. You think you're being investigated. You almost think like you're going to jail. You know, I'm the first guy to get a lawyer when you find out you're getting the Medal of Honor. But the book is about veterans 20 years after war. We all process life differently. We have to remember who we are. We have to remember the folks that served with us. A lot of guys are going through things that we can save each other from. A lot of the addiction and the suicide and whatnot. But this book is about remembering, you know, your tribe, remembering your roots, and realizing that the war is just something that happened. The people are the things you miss and you love and you want them back in your life.
So, I mean, you lived it. You fought for the country. And for that, I'm envious. You should be for every day you've already won. That's how I view you. Hopefully you view yourself the same way. But I love talking about American history because there's a war in history.
Yeah.
And the second book that I wrote is Thomas Jefferson, the Tripoli Pirates. And you just told me the connection you have. I knew there was a mission to bring back the guys that that were blown up in that mission, and they were buried in Tripoli. What could you tell me about it?
So Gaddafi in the 60s, when he took over in a coup, there was a Protestant cemetery that was right outside. There was a military base there for years before Gaddafi was in power. So Americans and non-Muslims were buried in this Protestant cemetery. But there was always a rumor that that's where Summers and the men from that mission were buried, in a mass grave. We had tried for years and years to get those remains home. Annapolis wanted them home. There's a town in New Jersey, Summers Point, named after Richard Summers, that wanted, you know, their patriarch home. For years, these parents would beg any American sailor going overseas, bring our guys home. We know they're gone. Just bring our bodies home. What that means to families. And so when we started to hear that there was unrest in Libya, a lot of these people were saying, you can get access to this. And it wasn't a matter of anything other than doing the right thing. These are the first Americans to die overseas in battle.
We had a brand new Navy. We're taking on these the Islamic radical terrorists, and our guys get blown up in a mission to go ashore.
Right. So I was freshly home from the war. I didn't really, you know, I missed it. I wanted to, and I met all these Navy SEALs. I met all these guys, Marcus Luttrell, Chris Kyle at the time, before they were, you know, superstars, and said, let's get a group together.
1 minute left. What happened?
And let's go get them. The Civil War broke out. And so the Navy said, you know, by the way, if you show up in Zodiacs and start cruising out to Sicily, we might just light you up. This is a really stupid idea. We identified them, and the DOD eventually put a wreath down and said, yes, this is where they lay. This is official.
So there, maybe one night we might see David come back with the remains. David Bellavia, congratulations on the book. Remember the Ramrods. Go pick it up today. David, always great to see you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, and we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in Ukraine next time we talk about
it. Yes, sir.
Because it's a mission, I think, worthy of our time. Don't move. Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform, and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.